but you could say they were a matched pair, and not be far wrong. They reached their goals against all the odds, and Hannibal and Marlborough couldn't have done better. Our immediate concern was to keep well clear of the various forces converging on Magdala, and somehow make our way to Queen Mastiat undetected.
"We must ride wide to westward to avoid Gobaizi's scouts," says Oliver Walk. "They will be along the Chikazi River, from Mikara as far south as the Karisa Fork, so we shall go by way of Idaga, and then south over the river, past Sokar and Gonda to the lake."
She traced a slim finger through the sand, on which she had made a rough map with grass stems and pebbles.
"It is a long way about, but there is no other safe path."
"This one is safe, is it?" says I. And she laughed.
"In Habesh, where is safety? Who knows what raiding bands are abroad in Lasta these days, scavenging after the armies? Rebels, outlaws, brigands, slavers, perhaps even the main powers of Menelek and Gobaizi. Although I think they will be farther south, in Begenda, watching Theodor and waiting. Somewhere thereabouts we should find Mastiat also, but only when we reach the lake will we have sure word of them. Meanwhile, we ride carefully, by secret ways, approaching villages and ambers only when we must."
She swept a hand across the sand, obliterating her map, smiling lazily as she dusted her fingers and sat closer, stroking her cheek against mine.
"It will be slow, but we have time. And we know how to beguile it, do we not?"
Having had her first taste of flashy only the day before, she was still in honeymoon mood, so we beguiled away there and then, on the river bank, just within the edge of the woodland, which she had pointed out to me from the top of her tower. We had slipped out of the citadel in the cold small hours, as she had planned, and she had picked her an erring way down to the valley floor and along the river in the dark to the shelter of the trees. Somewhere along the way we must have passed the remains of Yando spread over the rocks, but she didn't pause to pay respects, and before daylight we were snug in cover, having breakfast and a flask of Tej, considering our route, and enjoying the aforesaid bout of harem gymnastics, in the course of which we rolled down the bank into the water. Not that Ulaba seemed to notice, the dear enamoured girl, for she thrashed about in the shallows like a landed trout. A happy prelude to our journey, and a prudent one, I always think, for while the old Duke said one should never miss the opportunity of a run-off or a sleep, I say never miss the chance of a rattle, especially when going into mortal danger, for it may be your last, and you don't want to die a prey to vain regret. Also, it puts you in fettle, and I was in prime trim when we set forward that morning through countryside as fresh and fair as an English spring, along wooded valleys where clear streams bubbled under the sycamores and wild flowers grew by the water's edge. And, by afternoon, we were pushing our way through fields of waving grass as high as our horses' heads, and by evening ascending a rocky desert slope towards mountains of fantastic shapes, twisted peaks and ugly cliffs looming over us as night came down. That's Habesh, Elysium followed by Valley of the Shadow, and not improved by the savagery of its inhabitants. I'd seen the havoc wreaked by war and foray on the road up from Zula to Attakrat, and what we encountered on our ride west to Idaga was of a piece. The occasional burned-out village and deserted farm, the carcasses of beasts lying in neglected fields, the distant smoke clouds where raiders had been at work, the peasants still going doggedly about their business but keeping their distance. There were armed guards on the ambers and hilltop communities, and escorts for the water porters carrying their cargoes up from the wells. We kept well clear of them all at first, for Ulaba was known in the countryside and in the towns of Adowa and Aksum not far to our north, and we daren't risk her being recognised. So the task of buying food and drink along the way fell on Kazim Tamwar, who needs must learn enough elementary Amharic to enable him to ask for woha, water, halib, milk, engard, bread, and quanta, dried meat, while putting on his most charming Hyderabadi smile and proffering the little sticks of salt, which are the local small change and the only currency in the country apart from the Maria Theresa dollar, known as the gurshi and worth 5 salt sticks. I've a gift for languages, as you know, and got a smattering of Amharic in no time. It's gone now.